Chapter 22, 30th of September, Mount Nebel Marco Reactor. Tifa's limp body crashed against the rigid metal steps, bouncing once and tumbling sickeningly down the remaining few. Zack scrambled to catch her, to save her from more pain, but felt her broken figure unmoving in his arms. The laceration across her ribs was grave, her shirt drenched in seeping blood. The sparkle had left her eyes, draining with it her vitality and exuberance. Her blonde knight in shining armor had not been there when she needed him most. Zack had ordered Cloud to stay and help Zangan in the village. This first class was all she had now, but he would make it count. Seeing one so young and innocent injured at the hands of a soldier, fury welled inside him, more resolute than any he had experienced before. Glancing up, there came a bleep from the electronic lock, and the doorway to the Genova chamber momentarily parted, shrouding the eager Sephiroth in a cloud of icy gas as he entered. "I hate you all," Zack mentally repeated, as he set the girl against the nearest pod. "That's what you said. I won't ask you to forgive me for what has happened. Just allow me to put an end to this." Rage seized his mind as he left Tifa where she lay, beginning boldly up the staircase. The faces of the dead marched alongside him, bequeathing their vengeance on his shoulders. He recalled his time in the Shinra army, his missions as a soldier. They had been charged with maintaining peace in the company's empire, not facilitating destruction. Hero or not, invincible or not, his captain could not go unchallenged for the carnage he had brought to Nibelheim. "He's my captain no longer." Tifa was right. How had it come to this? With a mighty swing of the Buster Sword, Zack cleaved the engraved doorway into a dozen shards. Ethereal tentacles of chilled mist bade him forward, luring him onto a platform that overlooked the rivers swirling deep within the mountain. The scaling walls of the hollow were comprised of Marco-stained panels and dated ventilation equipment, circling an elevated plinth at the room's core, deliberately isolated and inaccessible. Spotlights illuminated its winged angel centerpiece from various directions, their beams mimicking the heavy pipes and steel framework that crisscrossed the cavernous pit below. Disregarding the option of an extendable walkway, Sephiroth strode almost gleefully along the rubber conduit that bridged the chasm between the chamber's ingress and the suspended pedestal, the tails of his trench coat bounding behind. He halted when he reached the plinth, gazing attentively at the chrome effigy before him. The masked angel guarded a darkened capsule, not unlike a headstone, wings outstretched as if willing to break free. It appeared to be some sort of elaborate filtration system, feeding purified Marco into the tank. But the aesthetics were disturbing to behold. Once more, Sephiroth spread his arms, welcoming himself into the statue's presence. "Mother," he proclaimed. "It is I, your son. I have come for you, Mother. I've come so that we may take this planet back for ourselves. I've had an epiphany. Let's go to the promised land." "Sephiroth!" bellowed Zack, the mere sight of him instilling newfound strength. "Tifa, Heidi, the whole village, how could you do this to them? Answer me!" "They're here again, Mother," Sephiroth chuckled, lowering his arms to his side, not taking his eyes from the bosom of the angel. His tone was one of repugnance, choosing to address the sculpture rather than his subordinate. "With your superior knowledge, power and magic, you were destined to rule this world. Yet those worthless fools, those wretched beings, they stole the planet from you. But don't worry, Mother, I am with you now. Suddenly, Sephiroth grabbed the abdomen of the effigy with both hands and heaved with the force of a behemoth. An excruciating grinding of metal reverberated around the chamber as he tore the angel from its foundations, sending sparks fizzing between the disconnected live wires, its wings detaching and falling away. Strange brown liquid bubbled from the mouth of the statuette, trickling down its chrome mask, spraying across the pedestal, as the soldier tossed it dismissively from the ledge. With a hiss of energy, the great capsule came to life. Brilliant lights awoke to reveal the naked humanoid figure of Genova, fully immersed in a transparent blue fluid. Her silver hair and lean features frighteningly resembled Sephiroth's, though her left eye shone with an unnerving red glow, concealed, to an extent, by a helmet bearing her name and date of discovery. Her sinewy flesh was worn and frayed in places, wrapped in an unusual growth of organic matter, and punctured throughout by cables designed to preserve her ancient body. Sephiroth gasped with joy as he saw her, placing a palm on the glass in an attempt to draw closer. "We meet at last, Mother," he whispered contentedly. "So you won't have to feel sadness anymore." "Sadness," barked Zack, his grip tightening on the Buster Sword as he slowly began towards the plinth. "Is that what this is about? Sadness? What about Cloud's sadness? Tifa's sadness? What about the sadness of all those who lost their friends and family tonight? Isn't that the same as your sadness?" "My sadness?" Sephiroth cackled, engrossed in his study of the corpse in the tank, carelessly ignorant of the approaching teen. "What do I have to be sad about? I am the Chosen One. I've been chosen to lead this planet. I have orders to take it back from your pathetic race and return it to the Cetra. That is why I was born. That is my calling. And I am doing all this for Mother." "Have you completely lost your mind?" Zack growled from behind him, pressing the thicker edge of the greatsword against his neck. Sephiroth's hands dropped from the container, his breaths long and hard. He turned his face to match Zack's uncompromising stare, his lips again curling into a menacing smile. I trusted you. No, you're not the Sephiroth I used to know."
"Traitor,"
Sephiroth spat, slipping the Masamune from its sheath before his junior could react, pushing him back.
"Insolent child."
Adjusting his feet, Zack retaliated, lunging forwards and bringing the Buster Sword down on his crazed commander. Sephiroth deflected with ease, the screech of mithril alloy deafening as the blades clashed, and used the momentum to knock Zack off balance, shoving him into the pit. Blood rushed to the young soldier's head as he fought frantically to reorientate himself, plummeting towards the glowing jade abyss. A length of gas pipeline was suddenly upon him, and it was all he could do to brace for impact, colliding heavily with its steel shell. Zack cried out as the pain ripped through his abdomen, clasping absently at the cylinder's joint with his free hand. Above him, Sephiroth seemed to descend like a feather on the wind, defying gravity to land gracefully on a nearby beam.
What the?
As Zack scrambled to pull himself up, the captain lifted an arm in his direction, a pale green haze forming about it. Blizzara magic shot from his fingertips like spears of ice, plowing through the mane and causing it to buckle, steam erupting from every fissure. Clinging to the pipe as it lurched in a precarious arc, Zack leapt onto a girder below. Sephiroth drifted down to meet him, the bangs of his iconic silver hair hanging across his demented features. It was then that Zack saw, for the first time, a darkness in his Marco eyes. It was the same obsessive malice that had endured in Genesis's. Grinning perversely, Sephiroth held the Masamune at shoulder height, double-handed, its six-foot blade halving the distance between them. He adopted an offensive stance, elegant and perfectly balanced, a predator poised to strike.
"Don't make me fight you," pleaded Zack, his chest heaving. "Don't be like Angeal."
"He always said you were a whining puppy," the commander taunted him, his movement swift and his footwork delicate.
As he advanced, Zack raised the Buster Sword to defend himself, parrying the initial thrust. Sephiroth landed a second and a third cut, their vigor increasing exponentially. He was overpowering his comrade with supernatural force, toying with him, driving him closer to the end of the beam and the toxic rivers that churned in the bowels of the reactor. Bobbing and weaving, jumping and cartwheeling, Zack dodged the onslaught, barely able to regain his position before the next wave was upon him. Blade kissed blade, their sweet, sharp song a discordant symphony that echoed on the walls of the secret hollow, each note adding to the teen's intensifying rage. Entertained by the skirmish, still Sephiroth came, laughing manically, dragging the Masamune through the steel and slicing upwards. The sheer power of it launched Zack high into the air, and he watched in stupefied horror as Sephiroth soared after him, unleashing his trademark Octoslash attack. He swung wildly to quell the rapid-fire stabs, but they were too much, and he roared in agony as the tip of the katana pierced the flesh under his shoulder pauldron. That allowed Sephiroth all the time he needed to deliver the decisive blow, goring his torso and slamming him like a missile onto a duct adjacent to Genova's plinth. Zack collapsed to one knee, snarling as he clutched his belly, his fingertips warm and wet from the oozing blood. He was a soldier first class, part of the most elite military unit on the planet, and he was putting his very soul into the battle. Yet as he loomed over his subordinate, the Masamune protruding casually from his left hand, a contemptuous sneer on his face, Sephiroth seemed not to be breaking a sweat. And as that fact dawned on Zack, his anger gave way to desperation. Summoning what energy remained in his body, he plucked a materia sphere from his pouch, hastily fumbling the lightning orb into a slot on the Buster Sword's hilt. Visualizing a concentrated electrical burst in his mind's eye, he felt the magic flow through his arm and brought the weapon crashing down, sending a blade beam zipping along the pipe. Sephiroth swatted it away like a fly.
"Now you'll learn the cost of your interference," he declared, his words frenzied.
Plunging the Masamune into the cylinder between them, the captain cast a devastating Gravija spell, causing the steel casing to shatter like glass, As short as the fall to the walkway below was, it knocked the wind from Zack. Everything hurt, and the pain was restricting, relentless. When he coughed, his mouth filled with the metallic taste of blood. He knew his injuries were serious, and he was gripped by the grim realization he may not exit the Genova chamber alive. The prospect of death did not frighten him, but he was crushed by the idea of leaving behind his friends and family. In that moment, his thoughts turned to those he cared for most, to his parents in Gongaga, proud of his achievements and of the man he had grown to be. To Angeal, his former mentor, who taught him that honour and dreams were the mark of a soldier. To Cloud, a brave kid who worshipped the ground Zack trod on. And finally, to Aerith, tending her flowers at the church, who might always wonder what became of him. I'd never forgive myself if she suspected she was to blame. He had failed them all, betrayed their faith in him. Betrayal was a common soldier theme, it seemed. Genesis, Angeal, Lazard, and now Sephiroth were testament to that. Comparing himself to the men he had once revered triggered a great swell of emotion inside Zack, and the heartache of abandoning his loved ones was replaced by an unyielding desire to see them all again. I'm not ready to die. I won't give up on Aerith. I promised her a trip to the plate, and I still have 23 tiny wishes to fulfill. Sephiroth stood over his wounded victim, admiring his handiwork, and held the point of the Masamune to Zack's throat. Whether it was survival instinct, his senior's arrogance, or the excess Marco burning through his veins, Zack found the strength from somewhere to swipe the katana away, using the momentum to flip himself upright. Before Sephiroth could react, he raced along the main, exploiting his enhanced soldier agility to spring 24 feet in the air towards the platform at the room's entrance. He landed in a crouched position, gasping for breath, spying Sephiroth in his peripheral vision just in time. As the Masamune slashed brutally down again, Zack blocked with a backstroke, a blaze of sparks erupting over the two. He strained with everything he had, but felt his muscles surrendering one by one, and knew he was beaten. As his defense capitulated, Sephiroth looked him dead in the eye. This is for Mother. The finishing blow was like being hit by a freight train, sending Zack hurtling through the doorway. He smashed into one of the Marcanoid pods, its shell crumpling on impact. Every inch of him was sore and numb and on fire all at once, with snapped ribs poking through the side of his uniform and a punctured lung. His fingers refused to respond, and he could do nothing to prevent the Buster Sword sliding from his grasp, clattering noisily onto the staircase. Darkness descended on the young man from Gongaga. No potions, no curative magic could save him now. All was lost. Sephiroth had won. There's no honour in this fate. The ringing of boots on the step beside him was enough to draw his fading gaze, and he remembered Heidi was still in the reactor. He tried to call her name, to warn her away from what lay in wait, but all he managed was a raspy hiss, subdued by the blood pooling at his lips. But it was not the Turk who emerged. Instead, someone else passed along his line of sight. the silhouette of a boy, lean and helmeted, and carrying the Buster Sword. He was climbing the staircase at speed, making for the Genova chamber. It would be his doom, and Zack was powerless to stop him. That was when the soldier's spirit finally broke, and he let out the closest thing he could to a sob. "Cloud, no!"